I'm Akron, Ohio. This is episode 92 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we are going to talk about one of my favorite tropes, the anti-hero. And then we are going to talk about our top five favorite examples of the anti-hero. But first, as always, I'm your host, Nick. And today I'm joined by...
Thumbo.
And Kyle.
Kyle.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen anything good lately?
No.
What?
I started watching Twin Peaks and...
So you have...
No, I haven't been watching anything good because I started watching Twin Peaks and...
Oh. Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so...
It was too good for you?
It was too good for me. It was not cheesy, and the acting is incredible, and it's not dated at all. To be fair, I'm only like two or three episodes in, but holy crap balls, that show is not aged. Okay, so I will say that I am one of those people that when you hype something up, it needs to be at that level that you hyped it up to. Otherwise, if it's anything less than that...
Yeah.
So Nick and Nelly have been talking about this show for a very long time and saying it's one of the greatest shows ever made. It's better than True Detective. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's much better than True Detective.
I agree with that.
And
here's what I'll say. Speaking as someone who had that exact same experience where something was built up for years, and then I finally sat down and watched Firefly. Like, it's a good show. To me, it's a good show, but it's not what everyone said it was.
It's not what I said it was.
Yeah. Firefly
I didn't do that to Firefly. Yeah.
Because it wasn't you. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, I didn't do that to Firefly as much as but like, I have with Twin Peaks. Yeah,
but like, but for years, friends have been, you know, in the geekdom community has been like, Firefly. I had a very similar experience. I don't know. I still love Twin Peaks. Though.
In a way, I almost think that if you were to take out the soundtrack of Twin Peaks, I would like it.
What?
Way more.
The soundtrack is so good.
No. There's one ominous theme that is incredible.
Yeah.
It's like a John Carpenter-esque, like, sort of wah-wah theme.
You don't like the jazz? The Audrey's jazz theme?
No. Look, I was texting you and Nelly, and I was like, holy crap. Is this a documentary about this like steel mill or whatever? It's really cheesy.
That bitch. Oh, I hated her.
Which bitch?
The old bitch who owned the steel mill.
Oh,
the lumber mill, rather.
Catherine. Catherine. Yeah, I love her husband. Catherine.
Yeah. I like the dynamic that they had.
Josie.
With Josie.
There's a fish in the percolator.
But me and Lisa, for the last couple of days, all we've been able to quote from it is, "Donna, what are you doing here?" It's just like, I don't know. The acting in it is just so over the top. And
come on, is there a more swoonable man than Dale Cooper? Come on, Dale Cooper, Diane.
I told G this. I don't know if I said it on air, but I told G this, which is, I so badly want the intro to the new Twin Peaks to be a woman driving into Twin Peaks.
Oh, and have it be Diane.
Oh,
God, that would be so good.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so when you guys talk about how great Twin Peaks is it Twin Peaks as a whole? Or when you were watching like the first couple episodes, you were like, this is amazing.
I love the first episode.
I like the first episode. I'm like, they're going to do some really cool stuff.
Because
with the lodge, I thought that was that dream sequence. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, this is my game.
Yeah.
And then as the series goes on though, certain things happen. Here's what I'll say is that if you liked like the mystery of Lost, but were disappointed by the ending, this one has an ending. So it's not like Lost where nothing resolved. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really respect and love it for.
The first season is much stronger than the second. There are a lot of subplots in the second that are weak. And it's kind of like Game of Thrones where there are a whole bunch of different plots going on in each episode. And not all of them are as good as the other ones. But the main mystery is so good. And just, it gets so weird and trippy.
And I get a feeling like the way that they portray like evil in the show, I'm like, that's actually, I don't think they're that far off. Like, I can see evil taking that face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to be on board for the craziness of it, though. Because there are some just balls out, trippy, weird stuff. It's a weird show. It's something that, I mean, they're putting it on Showtime now. It would never fly on like non-cable, like basic channel TV these days. It's just too
Yeah, it is. It you have to be in the mood, I think, to watch it, and it. I don't know, for some reason.
But you get to know the characters, and the characters, yeah, like,
they drive it.
Dale Cooper, Audrey Horne. I think the character of Bobby is great.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's super annoying in the beginning, and then he gets like so
much
more.
I think Dale Cooper is by far like the most interesting.
Yeah,
right
Dale,
now
Dale Cooper's awesome.
He stays interesting. He's,
yeah, Josie's a great character. Heather Graham's character in season 2, I really like.
Yeah,
adorable.
Annie, but yeah, feel free to send your hate mail directly to me.
I'm gonna send you hate mail.
I'll be like, who's this Nick guy sending us hate mail? Oh, it's you.
Excuse me, but this was a, and pardon the language, damn fine cup of coffee. Like, I love that so much.
Oh, and the one, I think it was the first episode where they lay out those donuts. Like,
no.
Dale Cooper loves his coffee. He loves pie.
See, this is the awesome theme.
Yeah.
The theme is so good.
No.
Oh, I get chills.
This is like the main
theme. Oh, this is the main theme.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks.
Ooh. No, this is weird. Mm. No, we're in an elevator right
Twin
now,
Peaks.
And I'm not Twin enjoying it.
So you don't like
who
this one?
Who killed? Oh,
come on, girl. So you're not going to be caught up in time for the. Oh, damn it!
No. Doesn't she look almost exactly like Laura Palmer?
No. This maybe I need to watch this show like drunk, and I'll get it, and I'll be like, "This is amazing."
People are gonna hate this.
We should do an.
But I don't care because I love it so much.
We should do an episode dedicated to Twin Peaks.
The little man, I forget what he's called. It's awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes my
arms bend like this. Although I was telling Nelly, I think my favorite, and this is going to play great on radio.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the entire series is when you see the giant go like this.
Oh, I don't remember what part. I forgot about the giant until you just
said
that.
Oh, the giant.
Like, yeah.
There's just so much. The log lady.
Log lady, of course.
There's just so much weird shit that to describe it sounds ridiculous, and then to see it, it's actually more ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about the show, is that it's just...
Well, what I like is that it's like a real city with real things that are happening, but then like a fucking supernatural meteor hit it or something.
Yeah.
And made everything just a little bit off kilter that becomes increasingly off kilter.
What I kind of... It's kind of like...
It reminds me of Stephen King, actually.
Yeah, it's basically a soap opera where all this other crazy shit is happening. And it's what I like about Battle Royale, where it's just like banal high school drama.
Yeah, yeah.
But the kids also happen to be killing each other.
Yeah,
that's what I like about. Backdrop, yeah, that's what I like about Twin Peaks is it's made to look like a soap opera, only it's also like a commentary on, like you were saying, good and evil, and subconscious and trippiness and
and relationships and family.
Bob's Burgers. Demo, what's new with you?
Studying.
Cool.
That's it.
Nick, what's new with you? Awesome.
Oh,
let's go on to the show.
I saw a couple episodes of Ripper Street. It's okay.
Ripper?
Street. Ripper Street.
Is that about Jack Ripper?
It's actually London's East End 6 months after the Ripper killings. So it's like the police department trying to solve other crimes.
Was
but
his name Jack Ripper or Jack the Ripper?
I think it's actually a misnomer that his name is Jack T. Ripper, but everyone thinks it stands for the.
Is that true or you're fucking with me?
I'm fucking with you. What are you talking about? Dude. Jack the Ripper was a pseudonym for an uncaught serial killer.
Oh. If you actually scramble the letters, it spells Jack the
Piper?
Yep. Perper. I saw. I talked about it on one of the last shows we recorded with Sir. I said I'm going to be seeing Mad Max in the next few days. Managed to see it before it left theaters around us, and it was pretty awesome.
Was it?
Yeah, very good looking movie.
I feel like that's all everyone's talking about it, though.
How good looking it is?
Yeah, like the action and how it looks.
Well, yeah, there's. No, I mean, the plot to it is basically.
But wasn't Mike talking about how it potentially it could be nominated for...
It'll probably get nominated for, like, special effects and sound design and things like... No, it won't get nominated for Best Picture.
I wouldn't be surprised if Inside Out is nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But the plot to it is, like, there's some people, and they escape, and then they go one direction, and they turn around and go the other direction.
Yeah.
That's the movie. Mm. But it's just nonstop action, but it's action in a good way.
Is there action in a bad way?
Yeah, Transformers.
Uh-huh.
Battleship.
Oh,
there's a great every frame a painting video online that I would recommend watching called, I think it's called Bayhem or something along those lines. And it's the guy who does Every Frame a Painting, which is a great YouTube channel. Yeah. And he's talking, first he talks about how Michael Bay does his own scenes better than people who try to rip him off, like Battleship. He's like, here's the Michael Bay shot that's in Battleship and why it's terrible in that movie. And then he shows how Michael Bay does it and why it actually works sometimes in his movies, but then why his movies don't work because that's all he does.
Oh, so okay.
It's really interesting.
Did you guys not like my that link I sent you? The epic rap battles of history?
Oh, I liked it.
Okay.
With Quentin Tarantino and...
Hitchcock, Spielberg,
yeah.
Was it today?
No.
No, it was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. But no one responded.
I thought I responded to it. I watched it while in traffic, so maybe I didn't respond.
You do a lot of stuff on your phone when you're
when you should be paying attention to the road.
Yeah, jeez.
In fairness, yesterday Nelly was handling the phone because she was in the passenger
seat. You mean last week?
No, we recorded it yesterday.
In recording.
A week and a day ago in listener time. but now in Cleveland, there's a lot of traffic at around the time that I leave work, so there's a lot of standstill.
Okay. Just be safe, everybody.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep.
Don't
text and drive. I feel like if you were in a movie, you'd be the anti-hero.
I would be.
You promote...
I'm not promoting. I don't do that. Here's what an anti-hero is, BT Dubs. It's an archetypal character who is a protagonist who has the opposite of most of the traditional attributes of a hero. They may be bewildered, ineffectual, deluded, or merely apathetic. And I do think that I fit into some of those.
You're kind of diluted.
Deluded, not diluted. When we graduated from med school, I was voted... speaking of apathetic, I was voted least likely to do CPR on the side of the road.
That's awful.
That is.
Yep. I was proud of that one. That's on my CV. Kyle, what do you like about the anti-hero?
I kind of like how they don't go by anyone else's rules but their own. And no one else makes me bleed my own blood. I mean, we talked about a similar trope a few episodes ago, the cowboy cop, and I like the same things as that trope and how they kind of go off on their own in a way. They don't follow anyone else's rules, and they're also just in a way like, yeah, they're kind of douchey and assholes a lot of the times, but. In some ways, I think that they're more complex as characters. But I don't know. I guess we'll get into that when we reveal our lists. But
yeah. Demo, what do you think about the entire?
A lot of the same, you know, I think it allows us to live vicariously through a character and appreciate that, you know, that character can do stuff that we may want to do. We may want to dress up and go fight crime. We may want to, you know, play by our own rules and not deal with the bullshit that we encounter on a day-to-day. Mm-hmm. But so having somebody in our stead do that, you know, we get to experience a little bit of that thrill. And I think that's the main thing with it.
Yeah, I like that it makes the character a little bit more believable.
That's true.
In a lot of the old archetypal stories, it's just black and white, and people. Yeah. I think
that was because they didn't have color film yet.
That's true. Black and white characters until like the 30s, and then they invented Technicolor.
Yeah, yeah.
Even like the first 15 minutes of Wizard of Oz, I would say that those characters are very black and white.
Well, that's when they invented the color film. Was during the filming of that movie. That's why it's like that.
Yeah.
Oh, they filmed the beginning and the end, and they're like, hold on, guys. Guess what we just figured out.
Yeah, yellow bricks.
It worked out perfectly because the gray brick road would have been very difficult for yours to follow.
Yeah.
and then the witch's gray shoes.
Next over the top review, Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Which we could definitely do. Anyway.
But yeah, I like that there are multiple shades of gray in these characters. It makes them more compelling.
Yeah.
And like you said, more human. Like, they have big faults, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to step on my top five right now. But
step on it.
One of my top five has a cocaine addiction. Like, you know, and another one's a smoker. In fact, that's something you see a lot with film noir, which essentially every film noir protagonist is going to be an anti-hero.
Yeah, and that's part of the charm of it, is that they either they're stupid and they get duped by the dame, or they're an alcoholic, or one that we see a whole lot is that they're really willing to kill the bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's something like Superman. I don't find Superman a very compelling character. I just don't think.
How about now?
Well, I mean, I didn't like that movie in general, but a lot of people hated the ending of Man of Steel because it went against the whole Superman. We're spoiling it a little bit, but it kind of went against something that he stood for.
Yeah.
Up until this point. And that was really the only thing that I liked about it, was that they were breaking the mold. Like, Nolan made Batman a lot darker, and I liked that Nolan and Zack Snyder tried to make Superman a little bit darker. Yeah. I just don't like how they got to that point at all. By which I mean that movie. that's why I like the characters like Batman, and I didn't like the movie Daredevil, but I really like the TV show Daredevil because he says whether or not I think they leave it a little bit open to interpretation how much he means it, but he says he likes beating the shit out of these bad guys.
Yeah.
Like he enjoys it. And I think even in the movie, I don't know if it's the way in the comics too, but in the movie, he was like a drug addict, or he was like, they alluded to him popping pills, I think.
Well, what I will say is, you know, I think comics are rife with anti-heroes, almost as much as film noir is. And, I will say that because I've retired the character, but I mean, Batman is a huge anti-hero. And if you look at the Bibles of the Batman comic world, one of them is, The Dark Knight, Returns. And that is nothing but him saying it was really hard dragging him up 30 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
But it was worth it just to hear his scream. And then they cut to him like holding a guy upside down over the the city's like he's getting off on that version of Batman's like
enjoying
sadist.
It.
He's a sadist, yeah.
Yeah. And even going to the newest Arkham game, Batman kind of screws over his fellow sidekicks in a way. Like he locks Robin and it's like he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
But I mean, he gets shit done.
Yeah. I think the best way to describe the anti-hero would be he's kind of an asshole, but he's our asshole.
Yeah.
You know? That's a really good way of putting it.
That's what the anti-hero is.
Yeah.
To go away from this superhero theme, one of your favorite movies, Nick, Daniel Plainview.
A lot of my favorite movies, there's a thin line in a lot of my favorite movies. I would say four of my top 10 have, if they're not anti-hero, like if they're not considered outright villains, then they're at least considered anti-heroes. Daniel Plainview, Michael and Vito Corleone in The Godfathers, and Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver, I would all say fit that mold.
Because it's not necessarily like a hero character, but just the protagonist is a terrible person. So someone that you really should be behind is also just an awful person. And
And it's crept into TV over the last few years in a really good way. And we've seen, I would say, early on, at least in Breaking Bad, before Walt becomes the outright villain, he's an anti-hero. One of my top five is going to be another really good anti-hero. I would say a lot of the cops in The Wire.
Yeah.
Tony Soprano. You know, the best TV that's going on right now.
True Detective, I mean.
Yeah, that's another great example.
Both of the cops.
Yeah, the one is an alcoholic, and the other one cheats on his wife constantly.
And is an alcoholic.
And it, yeah, all right. They're both alcoholics.
Yeah, on a list that I saw, interestingly, they put Colin Sullivan, Matt Damon's character from The Departed, and not Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
See, I would...
Because one's a criminal pretending to be a cop, and one's a cop pretending to be a criminal. Yeah. I thought that was interesting that they put Matt Damon's character, because he's not necessarily, like, ever the good guy, but technically he is a cop, and he is... Like,
yeah, but he's not the... I would say he's not...
Yeah.
He's just a villain in that movie, whereas I think Leonardo DiCaprio counts as an anti-hero, because yeah. he is the hero, but he does, like, knock a guy's teeth out, and he shoots somebody else in the kneecap to get information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think that... Wasn't Matt Damon, like...
Matt Damon.
Wasn't Matt he Damon. Sort of responsible for catching Jack Nicholson's character in the end?
A little bit, but he doesn't do it to be a good guy. Yeah. It's very self-serving. Yeah, I would just call him the anti.
He's kind of chaotic neutral, to put in the D&D parlance.
Sure. what's the other one? There's bad? I think he's just bad.
Yeah.
What are the other modifiers?
So you can be... So there's lawful, neutral, chaotic, and with that you can be either neutral, good, or evil.
I think he's neutral evil. Is that a thing?
Yeah, chaotic neutral would be like Jack Sparrow, who's like, you're not sure whose side he's on. He actually leans a little bit more towards chaotic good a little bit, but not really, yeah.
I think he's a newt.
Newt.
You're not a newt.
I got better. Was that the same thing?
Yeah. All right, you guys want to...
turned me into a newt.
You turned me into a newt.
You guys want to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about our top five Twin Peaks scenes?
Sounds good.
All right.
Sure.
Doom, doom.
I thought this tape was going to be a conversation stimulator, man. I was going to ask you for your top five records to play on a Monday morning and all that, and you just had to ruin it. Hope we'll do it next Monday.
No! I'm
going to
do it now!
Welcome back to the show. We are talking about our top five examples of anti-heroes. Kyle, what is your number five?
My number five is a three-way tie, I guess. And it's playable characters in video games that are thieves. Sly Cooper, Corvo from Dishonored, and Garrett from Thief. And it's basically just you playing as characters who are the star of the show, but make a living of stealing from people. I think most, if not all of them, are technically stealing from bad people, but I mean, they are still stealing and making profit from their line of work. So they are people that are you root for, but they live a life of crime. So I think that's an anti-hero in a way. What about you, Themo?
My number five is... from a movie from the 90s called Boondock Saints, and it's the Boondock Saints. These twin brothers who go around essentially killing evil people, where they're doing something that's, you know, allegedly good for the community, and they're doing it for altruistic reasons. However, on the other hand, they are committing murder. So it's one of those morally ambiguous things, because, you know, they're trying to protect people, but... you know, do the ends justify the means and whatnot? And it's just a really fun movie. The director's a dick. If you ever watched the documentary on him,
isn't he like a drug addict, or he was like,
well, he was just really like really self.
He's full of himself.
Yeah, full of himself beyond like belief, and then like, you know,
because Boondock Saints 2 was
awful.
It was an actual movie. Because wasn't there like a controversy behind it, or?
There was, yeah, there was. I forget what exactly, but it wasn't made for the longest time, and then it was actually on Netflix a while back, and then I had to turn it off. Like, it was significantly bad.
The sequel?
Yeah.
The squeakquel.
Like, unwatchable bad.
Anyhow, the squeakquel.
Nick, your number five.
My number five is a movie called All That Jazz. It's Bob...
And All That Jazz.
Exactly. Bob. So it's a movie that Bob Fosse made, and it's semi-autobiographical. It's about the time that he was trying to make the movie Lenny, while at the same time trying to direct Chicago on Broadway, and kind of had like a breakdown. So the movie is about this character named Joe Gideon who's trying to make a play and make a movie at the same time. And it's about how he kind of loses it and overworks himself and has to pay the price. But he's our hero because we see him, like, he's the main character, and we see his drive, and we respect that. But at the same time, we don't respect the fact that he's doing speed the entire time and banging every girl who walks by him. And he's, at times it shows him being a good father, but at other times it shows him being kind of a shitty, neglectful father. But yeah, it's a really good movie. It's so good, in fact, that it won the Palme d'Or in
1980. God damn it.
You're full.
It's like the, you're joking. I feel no, like we're true. Playing Double Dare or something. I'm about to get slimed every time you say that.
I know.
And today's word of the day is
the Cannes Film Festival. I love bringing it up every time I can, because I know you cherish it. So, Kyle, what's your number four?
Just for that, I'm going to talk about Walter White. He was on my short list, and we brought him up earlier, and I was like, I'm going to take him off my list, but just for that, I'm going to put him back on my list. Walter White's an amazing anti-hero, just because we talk about it a lot at lunch. I work with my dad, so he's obsessed with this show. He says it's one of, if not the greatest shows on TV. And it's one of those... His character is one of those characters where, like, you're rooting for him, but you also want him to fail at the same time because he's, like, such a terrible person. After every single season, it changes, like, your opinion of him changes, whether you want him to fail or succeed. And he's just such an amazing character, especially when you watch, like, or think about him at the beginning of the show to him at the end and how he's changed and what he's gone through. And it's that character, Walter White's going to go down as being one of, like, the greatest TV characters of all time, I'd say. But I think he's a really good anti-hero who has good intentions, but goes through a lot of crap and kills a lot of people along the way. So, yeah. And with that, I'm probably going to retire Breaking Bad from my list.
Are we about it?
Okay, we need to get a bigger dry erase board, kind of like Themo's that he has right now.
Oh, yeah.
For our wall back here.
Oh, yeah, we should.
Make a list.
Of all the retirements. So yeah. You retired Batman. Have I retired anything? I'm probably
we probably all retired Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in some, or at least yeah. Secret of the Ooze. I feel like I talk about that show a lot.
I probably should retire
The Last of Us. I was about to take off Casey
whatchamacallit, Woody Allen,
Annie Hall, and Annie Psycho. Hall. I should probably retire.
Yeah, we'll work on getting a big retirement list up.
All the Palme d'Or winners. I kind of want to make my top five just all former Palme d'Or. Can I mention some films that have won the Palme d'Or in the past? So you have. I know you didn't love Blue is the Warmest Color, but that one won.
I didn't not love that.
Did you love it?
I liked it more than frickin' 50 Shades of Grey. Holy crap.
Well, I didn't see 50 Balls. Shades of Grey.
I didn't see either.
Also, Blue is the Warmest Color makes 50 Shades of Grey look like a Disney movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that was an awkward movie to see by yourself
among strangers.
That was my favorite part. Yep. You told me how you saw this movie.
Were you wearing a trench coat?
I was going to say, I was sitting in the back row with a trench coat on. No, those parts aren't true, but yeah, it was an awkward experience. Fahrenheit 9/11 one, which I think is weird. That's the one that stands out as, like, being a weird.
I think that probably because I don't know if you guys recall the climate at that time,
like, yeah,
being liberal or being anti-Bush in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably why he won.
Yeah, and that was the year that Quentin Tarantino was actually the president of it.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Speaking of, Pulp Fiction won. Okay. The movie The Piano won, and the movie The Pianist won. So not only the instrument, but the player of the instrument have both won. Barton Fink. Let's see.
How you just have this up on your computer.
I just Googled it.
Yeah,
all sure that jazz. Apocalypse Now.
You have a quick tab to it, don't you?
Yeah, it's on his
Apocalypse Now.
Favorites bar.
Yeah.
Taxi Driver. And then before there was the Palme d'Or, it was called the Grand Prix du Festival International du Film, and two movies that won that, Kyle, movies I know you like a lot, blow up in the conversation.
Nope, don't like those anymore.
No. All right. They're ruined for you. So it's Pulp Fiction. Thema, what's your number or whatever?
What are we on?
Four?
Four?
Four is going to be, oh, man, a tie. A tie between John Constantine, who's the head of the Hellblazer comics. He's the protagonist in those. He's a, essentially, if you want to picture any film noir detective, he's like that, but he's also a powerful like mage who solves like supernatural crimes and whatnot. And he's just a jerk. He's an Alan Moore character. First showed up in Swamp Thing when Alan Moore was doing Swamp Thing. But he's a jerk. He looks like Sting, and he's got special powers.
Sting, like from The Police?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Later played by Keanu Reeves. And then he actually just had a TV series that was short-lived. Then the ties with Arno from the Assassin's Creed video game. It's the only one I've played all the way through, so that's why it's getting that character is getting it. But it can be applied to any of the Assassin's Creed characters. They're assassins. They kill people.
That's their creed.
That's their creed. Nick, your number four.
It's not just a clever name. My number four is from one of my favorite movies of all time, Rio Bravo. It's the Howard Hawks Western with John Wayne and Dean Martin as a character named Dude, who I think that's where the Coen brothers actually got the name The Dude from.
Seriously?
I think so. It doesn't say that on this Wikipedia page, but
that'd be cool.
It probably says it somewhere else. And there is a character named Nathan Burdett, which is the name of Kyle's co-host on The Tropes, on The Rocks. Anywho, Dude, played by Dean Martin, is a deputy, but he's kind of shown in most of the movie to be a shitty deputy because he's drunk and ends up quitting partway through and isn't careful and gets himself captured. But it's just a really compelling character, and I really love the Dean Martin performance, and they also make use of his legendary Dean Martin pipes. They break into song.
I gotta say, I love Dino. He's got such a good...
Oh, yeah.
Such a good voice.
He's great. But yeah. Rio Bravo. It's a lovely film. Kyle, what's your number three?
My number three is a late edition, I guess.
What?
Bigby Wolf from The Fables. I talked about him on Cowboy Cop. I don't remember where he landed on my list. But he's definitely one of those characters who doesn't really go by anyone else's rules. And this is one of those games, kind of like that The Walking Dead game. It's made by the same people, where you make decisions. And instead of sort of choosing who lives and who dies, which you can do that, but often in this game, it's more of who lives and who dies by your hands. So there are some times when you're like, do you want to kill this person or do you want to spare them? Or do you want to rip this person's arm off or do you want to spare them? And it's like really messed up and it's incredibly violent.
I had no idea the game was that violent.
Yeah, it is really over the top. And it's really gratuitous in that the fables, like as sort of the mutation that they are, they heal really quickly. So he'll get like messed up and his arm will break and the bone will stick out. But then in the next chapter, he'll be in like a sling and he'll be fine. And it's like, so you don't really need to show that. It was just kind of over the top violent for no reason at all. But the game is really incredible and it's a really good mystery. And the character of Bigby is someone who is kind of an asshole, but you play as him and he's sort of driving the story. So What about you, Thema? What's your number three, I think?
My number three is a scruffy looking nerve herder. That is
he's on my short list too.
Yeah.
Who's scruffy looking?
Yeah.
Who are you calling scruffy looking?
Did you know that Nerf Herder is the name of the band that does the Buffy the Vampire Slayer theme song?
I knew they were a band. I didn't know that.
Yep.
That is an amazing...
It's a great like band name.
What kind of music is it?
They mostly do...
It sounds like a punk rock.
Theme songs to...
to 90s television.
To Joss Whedon.
They're a theme song band. A theme song cover band would be amazing. Anyway...
Han Solo. So I guess this mostly applies to episode 4, where he's still kind of ambiguous, and you know, he shot first. In fact, he's the only one who shot. He's not apologetic for it. Well, I guess he is, because he gives him a coin. He gives him a credit or two. But overall, this is just a guy who, he's out for himself and his co-pilot. He's going to smuggle. He's going to screw over, crime bosses if it means his neck or not. And he's going to get through it. And the only reason he's even in it to help Luke is for the paycheck at the end. So, and he doesn't give a shit that his co-pilot doesn't get a medal at the end of the movie, which made no sense to me.
And he also has the best response to I love you.
In history of cinema.
Yeah.
The best response. I know.
What do you think about the prequel story of his coming in movie form?
Oh.
I think they announced it maybe at Comic-Con or something.
I had heard some buzz, but I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Some of the people that they talk about him are playing young Han Solo are interesting, but I love the idea of a bounty hunter story in Star Wars universe.
Well, they did like a lot of like the
not bounty hunter, smuggler. Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's going to become one because I know like Dengar, one of the bounty hunters. Oh, God, I'm a nerd. One of the there have been bounties on his head before, is what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. So it'll be really cool to see if they bring in those characters and like kind of stay true to the expanded universe, which doesn't really count anymore, but just the same.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't. I don't see why not. I don't see why they don't redo the prequels, to be honest with you.
Like, there's no, redo them even though they like
just came out.
Yeah, just
well, because it's like a mythology, so why not have two different versions?
I mean,
of the
they
same?
Did the same thing with Spider-Man, like
every
just, like,
every 2 years.
Yeah, so awful. And those are awful, but yeah.
Nick, number three.
My number three is from, and I'm going to retire this for a little while anyway after this episode, but. Got to put it on here. It's Raylan Givens, played by Timothy Oliphant from the TV show Justified. I got a couple quotes here. Basically, he's a U.S. Marshal who, similar to Daredevil and Batman, or some incarnations of Batman, kind of likes being a badass and likes shooting people. There are a lot of times when he says, "You make me pull," as in pull my gun. "You make me pull, I'll put you down." Like... The reason that he gets transferred back to Kentucky in the first episode is because he basically cornered a mobster into a situation where the mobster was definitely going to pull out his gun, giving him the opportunity to kill that guy. So he's just that kind of badass slash
bad man.
Yeah, kind of a bad guy. But my favorite quote of his, and I don't even know if this really proves that he's an anti-hero. It's just a good quote. He says, you run into an asshole in the morning, you ran into an asshole. You run into assholes all day, you're the asshole.
Yeah.
That's just words to live by. My Raylan Givens, protagonist of one of the finest goddamn TV dramas ever, Justified. Kyle, what's your number two?
I should start watching that show. Before I get to my number two...
I mean, look at this hat.
That is an incredible hat.
It's a great hat.
That's another thing that was awesome about Miller's Crossing. Going back to last week's episode. No, what's his name's hat? It's like, it's a big deal.
What about all those hats in Prestige?
That too. Okay. Would you guys consider Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock anti-hero?
It's on my list.
He's a dick.
Okay,
so.
Good. Okay, yeah. I guess I won't steal that then.
No, don't do it.
Well, no, it would have been a late ad, and I felt bad for not thinking about it originally. But my number two, I guess I'll say Trevor Phillips from Grand Theft Auto V. Have you played Grand Theft Auto V?
No.
He is... So that game was unique because instead of giving you control of one player, you got control of three players. And he's sort of the hillbilly, terrible, racist asshole that you play as, and he's like such a terrible person, but there are like little glimpses of him being kind of not nice, but he for overall he's just sort of a terrible person who tortures people, who is just terrifying, and I don't know. He's an amazing character. It's one of those games where you'll be driving around the city, because the game's mostly just you in cars, but you'll have a conversation with somebody, and the dialogue of it and his acting is just really funny, but also just, you don't want to be alone with him ever because he is so unstable. So I think he's one of like the greater video game characters come out in the last generation, I'd say. So,
oh, wow.
Trevor Phillips from the newest Grand Theft Auto game.
Cool.
What about you, Themo? Number two.
My number two is Sherlock from nice. Sherlock. Shocker, right?
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I love the TV show, and I've read a lot of the short stories and novels and whatnot. So,
is it Sherlock as a character, not even just the Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah, just overall, in general,
he's
yeah.
kind of off.
That's and... they're very. It's weird because they're very true to the like the books, because he is like a cocaine addict, and yeah. at one point, like in one of the stories, I forget what they were talking about, but he was talking about how, I think it was love is fine for Watson, but for people of higher, intellect and so on and so forth, that it's no good for, it's not something that he can do.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, what do you do then? And he goes over to the cabin. He's like, I do the cocaine. Like, yeah, like, because at that time, like in that time, it was like it was a medicine.
Recreational.
Thing, yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have like the stigma that it does now. But so just the crazy. Same. Yeah. So cocaine addict, probably a heroin addict.
I used to be a heroin addict. Now I'm a methadone addict.
Yeah. That,
from what? Anyhow.
Oh, so that applies to a lot of people that, struggle with that, unfortunately.
No, you're an asshole, Nick. It's a line from a movie.
I didn't mean, you're not. Just caught me off guard.
Are we so, wait, thinking about it now, man, Robert Downey Jr. being the...
You're right. I didn't think about that. You're
the,
right.
The movie Sherlock is kind of interesting. And
what was the second one really bad or something? Like,
I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't like the first one. Honestly.
Really? I thought it was kind of interesting.
I liked it. I liked that character though. So
yeah.
Nick, your number two.
My number two is a real life person, but there's a biography about him, and they made a really bad movie actually about him. But it's a guy named Stu Unger who was nicknamed the Kid. He was a professional gambler. Predominantly, or most famously for being a poker player, but he was also, like a prolific gin rummy player, and he won the, World Series of Poker 3 times, 2 times in a row when he was like in his 20s, basically. But he had a degenerate gambling problem, and he also had, as we've recently discussed, a cocaine problem, and ended up dying from it at a pretty young age. But, so there was a biography on him called One of a Kind, which kind of details his life. And then somebody made a movie about it called High Roller, which starred Michael Imperioli, who is Christopher Moltisanti from The Sopranos. And his performance is actually not bad. He's an actor I really like, but the movie just plays out like a really bad TV movie. Like a lot of like cheesy montage and things like that. Somebody really needs to remake this guy's story into a good movie, because like by all accounts he was like winning gambling tournaments at age 10, like dropped out of school, had all these problems, but he was a savant.
Yeah,
like most people say that he was the greatest poker player to ever live, but he died super young, and it's because he had all these other vices, and a lot of people think that the same vices that made him die were the same vices that made him a really, really good gambler. So I think that's interesting.
That's always that.
Yeah.
That like dynamic of my greatest strength is my greatest weakness. I find that so fascinating.
Yeah. It's people. A great story to tell. And the only time that it's at least for him specifically, the one time that it was told is just so unfortunate. Yeah. So I really want somebody to remake this dude's movie, make it better. Kyle, what's your number one?
Would you say that Pete Rose would fall under anti-hero?
Sure.
I was just thinking about that. Like, an amazing athlete who had incredible, unfortunate stuff associated with him now.
Oh, here's an example of a bet. He won $100,000 from a guy named Bob Stupak, who I think was the owner of the Stratosphere. They took six decks of cards and flipped through all of them until there was only one card left. And they bet, he bet $100,000 that he could name what that card was and did it. Like, that's crazy.
That is like savant level.
Yeah.
How, like, so they're just like up.
Yeah. He's just like flipping.
Like immediately, like rapid fire. Just,
I don't know how long it took, but just
like six decks. Shit,
you could take like a week and do that with me and I would not be able to do it. Six decks of cards. That's 52 times six minus one to keep track of. And then that last one.
I hope, were the jokers in there too?
I don't know.
Was the card that told you how to play solitaire on there?
What if that was the one?
The saddest card.
The card is, yeah.
That was the final one. Yeah, Kyle, what's your number one?
My number one is a movie that I really like. I don't love it as much as you love it, Nick, but it is a movie where someone has their face stomped in pretty badly, and that is, the character is the driver from Drive.
Oh, excellent.
And basically, the reason that he is the anti-hero is because that damn elevator scene.
You know what?
Holy crap.
You know what I'm learning about myself?
I just watched that again earlier today. Damn it.
You know what I'm learning about myself is that I don't know what it says about me, actually.
You are messed up.
But when you said somebody gets their face smashed in, I still wasn't sure what movie you were talking about.
And the fact that face smashed in, one of your favorite movies, doesn't air.
Anti-hero list. I thought you were going with Daniel Plainview.
No.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Finished.
Yeah, Daniel Plainview, the driver. You have a lot of movies that are just... Yeah.
Daniel Plainview gets a lot more good lines than the driver, though.
Because the driver has pretty much zero lines. But got that. Just because the beginning of the elevator scene, he's like making out with what's her face, and they're like,
it's Carey Mulligan.
It's like the beautiful scene, and then cheese.
Cheese Louise. Yeah, it's
cheese
awesome.
Cheese and rice, man.
Cheese and crackers, man. Yeah. But
throughout the entire movie, there's just, he does a lot of crazy things. But I mean, he does it for a reason.
Yeah.
But.
And he's also like,
he doesn't need to do it for,
like, he's the hero. He is protecting the girl and her kid. But I mean, he's a criminal to start with anyway.
Yeah.
You know? Oh man, the chase scene at the beginning of that movie is just, I might watch that when I get home. It's a treat.
Thamo.
Yeah. Number one is Rick from Rick's Place from Casablanca.
Nice.
Rick is so amazing. Someone asked me the other day why I moved to Ohio. I said, because I love the ocean. And they said, or why I moved to Akron. And they said, I said, because I love the ocean. They said, but there are no oceans here. And I said, I was misinformed. Which is completely ripped straight out of Rick's mouth. He's just such a cynical, I'm out for myself kind of guy who was burned once, and at least once in the past. And it's kind of like a criminal with a heart of gold. If you like, they go through his past crimes at one point, and he always seems to have like a moral conscience to the illegal activities he's doing. My favorite movie and one of my favorite characters of all time.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Casablanca. Yeah,
nice. Yeah. It makes me sad that, didn't you say recently that it was bumped from your top 10?
It got
because
bumped
of something?
Out of my top 10.
Oh,
just recently.
Yeah. And you had to say specifically that Casablanca was bumped, and I was like, go. That's sad.
But that means that it is number 11. So
yeah, that's true.
It's got a number for
it. That's
true. Only 11 movies actually have a number.
There you go.
Of all the movies that have a number, it's the lowest.
Is your list laminated?
It should be.
What's your number one on this list?
On this list, my number one is, as I'm wont to do. It's been a while.
It's a tie.
It has been a while, though. I got to say.
It has been a while. It's a tie of, really, I'm just throwing the movie in there. I'll be terse about it because I think what it's loosely based off of is the meat of the matter. The movie character is a character named Michelle from 1959's Pickpocket by Robert Bresson, about this guy who basically uses his sense of self-entitlement to pickpocket people and not worry about the ramifications morally or ethically, which is based on, to some extent anyway, Fyodor Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, the main character of Raskolnikov, who decides that he should kill his landlady because he's a superior being and she's human scum. So he decides that he should do it, and he does. He kills her with an axe. And then the rest of the book, that's pretty early in the book, and the rest of the book is him kind of dealing with those ramifications and the moral quandaries that come with it. And that is a one hell of a book. It's just dark and depressing. And this character goes through so, like, the whole book is just introspection on this character and what it means to know that you've done something like this.
Oh my God.
It's,
that sounds so heavy. Like,
it's heavy. And it's also like 700 pages long. So it's actually
literally heavy.
So it's actually heavy. But it's just such a good book. It's top three. I don't know where it lands. Oh, wow. Those three top three favorite books of all time for me.
What are the other two?
Slaughterhouse Five and Catcher in the Rye.
Catcher in the Rye, for awesome. Sure.
Yeah. So
wait till you read Ready Player One.
That, you think that's going to make it in the top?
Probably not.
It'll get a number.
Not if those three books are on your list.
It might get a number.
You think it'll get a number?
What?
Hopefully a single digit number, but
I mean, it's.
We'll see. I don't have beyond top three book wise. Okay. Maybe.
Then maybe it'll be four.
Yeah.
Maybe. Here's hoping.
Yeah. Here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah. From that's from Casablanca.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yep. I just said it.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that that's brilliant. Where it was from. Okay.
That's gorgeous. I love that.
For the second week in a row. Slow clap. Oh, I know. That was this week.
Oh my God.
It happened earlier.
Somebody slow claps.
We're drunk.
Anyway. We're not drunk.
What happened? When did we slow clap?
For a Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
We were tired Breaking
Bad. When we put it away.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time.
Under the board.
It's been a long time.
I forgot about the slow clap.
Yeah. That wasn't that long ago, actually.
It was probably about 20 minutes.
We need a board so we can like point that. To it and be like, on the board. It's on there.
We'll get like a, I like that
idea.
We
need a sound effect for putting it on the board.
What should the sound effect be?
For like a retirement?
Yeah.
Maybe like an old person going.
Can I get it?
That sounds so
sexual.
Gonna get it.
All right. So those were our top five anti-heroes. Yeah, if they want to find us on the internet, Thema, where would they find us?
Facebook.com/onthetropes.
That's true. Kyle, if they want to find us on the internet, where also would they find us?
Facebook.com. No, we're on we're at iTunes at On the Tropes, Twitter at On the Tropes, and you can email us at onthetropes@gmail.com.
Yes, and please go over to iTunes and write us a review. We love getting this, and it'll make us...
It bumps our, like, exposure.
Yeah.
So that it helps us in a big, bad way.
Not exposure like it. We're exposing ourselves.
Which, if you paid us enough money, we would expose... No, we wouldn't.
No, we wouldn't, listeners.
But for 5 stars, we can talk.
We'll think about it, yeah. And head over to tvtropes.org.
Look up
anti-hero. There's a whole bunch on there.
Yeah.
Let us know the... good ones that we missed. I know. Yeah. I left a lot off purposely because I feel like I've talked about a lot of them.
Well, that's the problem.
A whole bunch. Yeah.
So much of the things we love, like
our anti-heroes.
Yeah.
I tried to rattle off as many of them as possible in the first segment so that I would feel
too bad about
vindicated
it.
Yeah. In not leaving them on. But yeah, let us know what your favorite anti-heroes were, are, or will be from TVTrips.org. Yeah. As always, I've been your host, Nick, and we have been...
Thema.
Oh, sorry.
Thema, tired.
Are we boring you, Thema?
Sorry. Try it again. Come on.
And Kyle.
Yeah.
Thema.
And Kyle. No. Anyway. Yep.
And join us again next week when we're
and cheers.